The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
We try to, once a year, get a group and make a CD, and theirs will be made on November the 16th. It'll be called Crown Hymn, and so you pray for them as they'll go to the recording studio to be able to make that. That'll be a brand new CD put out by that group, and you'll be able to enjoy that type of music in your home, and that is great. They did an outstanding job, and I appreciate that so very, very much. Take your Bible and go back to Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." I want to speak about the trust fund. The trust fund. Now, this is a little bit different. When Brother Anderson was here last week, I took him to the airport. And as we went to the airport, he started talking to me. He said, "You know, Brother Wells, it is very important that as you're getting older that you get yourself a family trust fund. Not a will, but a family trust fund." And he said, let me tell you what a trust fund is and how that will protect your assets. And we started to talk, and I asked him a lot of questions, to be honest with you, because I didn't know anything about it, a charitable trust fund and an individual family trust fund and all these things. And so we begin to talk about those matters. Now, I want to talk with you not about that, but I do want to talk to you about the trust fund in where you put your trust. You see, the Bible talks here in the book of Malachi that there was those that had erred, there was those that had sinned, there was those that had stepped out to rob God. The word robbed, if you were to do a study on it, it simply means to take that which belongs to that person by assault. And so that person is being assaulted. Now, the one that's being assaulted here is God himself. Now, they come back and they say, "Well, where, God, did we rob you?" And God comes back and he says, "In tithes and offerings." Now, may I say, God is interested in what we do. He's interested in everything that we do. He's interested, if you will please, in our funds and how we secure it, how we spend it, how we save it, and how we share it. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So he says, wherever you put your treasure is where your heart is going to be. Someone once said that a faith that hasn't reached the pocketbook or the wallet probably hasn't reached the heart. The faith that hasn't reached the pocketbook or the wallet probably hasn't reached the heart. Now, may I tell you that money is our medium. Money is our exchange. Money is that which is noted for our survival. The Lord uses money all throughout the scriptures, but you and I have to become acquainted with money. And somebody may say, "Well, preacher, you don't understand. God is not interested in money." Oh, yes, he is, because the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, that makes talking about finances a spiritual matter. A matter of fact, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Money answereth all things." There are 36 parables that you'll find in the Bible. Out of those 36 parables that are mentioned in the Bible, 16 of those parables has to do with our attitude towards money. Do you realize that one out of 10 verses in the New Testament is talking about money? There is over 500 verses mentioned in the Bible about faith. There's over 500 verses mentioned in the Bible about prayer, but there's over 2,000 verses mentioned in the Bible about money. Jesus is standing outside the temple as they're getting ready to collect that which is the offering for the temple. And Jesus is standing outside the temple and he notices that there are people standing in line. He notices that those that were rich cast in of their abundance, and then there came up a poor widow woman. The Bible says that she cast in her two mites. She cast in her two mites. The Lord not only examined the giver, but he examined the potential of the giver. And the Bible says, as the Lord commented about this poor widow woman, that she cast in all of her living. So she cast in all that she had. Now, that shows me that Jesus pays attention to what we put in the offering plate. In the book of Luke chapter 16, you'll see that there's the unjust steward. You'll see, if you would please, the story of that, where Jesus denotes, if you will please, that which is the faithfulness that one gives towards money. You'll see in the Bible that the Bible talks about over and over about things that take place in regards to that which is money. Now, we have to be careful about money. You know, I grew up on a farm for 6 years of my life in Millers, Maryland. We had a 280-acre farm, and Mrs. Wagner, the lady that was raising me at that time, I don't know if you've ever seen the fly strips. You ever see the fly strips? I don't even know if they sell them today. But the fly strips of many years ago, you could break open the top, and then you could pull out a strip, and you could hang it somewhere, and it had some sugary type of stickiness to it. And so the fly would fly around, and the fly inside of his head would say, "Honey, honey, honey." And all of a sudden, the fly would land on that fly strip paper, and then the fly strip paper would say, "Got you, got you. Got you." Well, if we're not careful, that's what we do with money. We become consumed with it in our life, and we fly around that fly strip, if you will please, that is signifying money, and we say, "Money, money, money." And if we're not careful, we fall in love with it, and then money says, "Got you, got you, got you." And it ought not to be that way. We're supposed to be in charge of our funds, not our funds being in charge of us. We should be the one that is in control, not the one that is being controlled by. The Bible talks about the tithe, as we read just a moment ago. That is a tenth, if you would please, of our gross income. The Bible warns about those that do not return it. Now, by the way, the terminology is very clear in your Bible, where the Bible doesn't say we're supposed to give our tithes and offerings. The Bible says we're supposed to return our tithes and offerings. We're returning unto God, which is justifiably His. May I say that God owns everything. It is, you know, there's three different types of people, I'm sure, that's in the room today. There are those that says it's all mine. I worked for it. I earned it. I deserve it. You know, I can do what I want with it. It's all mine, and I determine where it's going to go. If I want to give God a dollar, I'll give Him a dollar, but it's mine, and I decide. If I want to give God $5, I'll give God $5, but it's mine, and I will decide. If I want to give God $20, I'll give God $20, but it's mine, and I will decide. So there's one group of people that's represented in the congregation this morning. There are those that have the attitude, "It's all mine." There's another group of people that's represented here this morning, and that is those that believe that the tithe belongs to God, but the rest of it belongs to me. And so they believe that they ought to give God 10%, but the rest of it, which is 90%, belongs to them. Then there are those that believe that all belongs to God. By the way, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So when we're living on planet Earth, we're living on God's planet. How many believe that? Say amen. Amen. That means the air that you believe, that you breathe, the air that you breathe is God's. That means the soil on which you walk upon is God's. That means when God supplies for you that which is food for you to eat, or shade for which you sit under, or the sun in which you rest below, you'll find out that that is God, and God gave that. So God says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, we talk about the tithe like paying rent. You know, you breathe His air, you eat His food. He's given you a body in which to walk in, in which to think with. He's given you all that, and He says, "Here's what I ask of you, yea, this is what I tell you to do," and that is to give 10% back to me. But to be honest with you, it is all God's. It is all God's. We ought to get up in the morning and be very thankful that God has given us the ability. So we understand this, that first, the attitude is, I will share with God what I want. That's the first type of group that you would see in any congregation. The second type of group that you would see is, I will share with God because I have to. God tells me I'm supposed to give the tithe, and I don't like it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I know that's something that God tells me I ought to do. And then there are those that say, God, it's all yours, and I'm privileged that you're sharing with me. So it's the reverse thinking. It's not that I have and I'm giving to God because I share to God. It is the fact that God has and God is sharing with me. And we understand now there's that definition of the tithe. So 10%, if I'm giving 10%, of course, of that which is $100, that's $10. Or 10% of 1,000 is 100. Or 10% of 1,500 is 150. Or 10% of 5,000 is 500. And so I give back to God percentively that which God has given to me. Now somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, that's just the Old Testament. The problem with that logic is this, that there was those that gave, the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 20, there are those that gave far before the law was ever instituted. The Bible says that they gave of their spoils of the war, they gave of all their increase. We see that Abraham did this. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22, the Bible says, and I will surely give the tithe unto thee. So Abraham commenced it. He commenced it. Then you'll see this, that Jacob continued it. Jacob speaks of tithing. Then you'll see that Moses commanded it. You'll see that after Jacob, Moses came along and God gave him the law. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 32, the Bible says, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And so it became law. You'll see in the book of Malachi that it was confirmed, and that was hundreds of years later. You'll see that Jesus commanded it. The book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, the Bible talks about woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. He says, for ye pay the tithe. Then he says, this ought you have done, he says, and leave not the other undone. So he said, in paying the tithe, now understand this, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites, these were not believers. These were not saved people. But yet God said, I'm telling you, I commend you for doing that. So God says to those that are unsaved, by the way, the unsaved people breathe the air just like you do. The unsaved people walk on the soil just like you do. They drink the water just like you do. So God says this. God says, now here's what I'm telling you to do. He says, you have done this as a scribe. You have done this as a Pharisee. You have done this as a hypocrite. He said that you paid the tithe. And he says, that's what you have ought to have done, but the other you have left undone. So you see in the New Testament where God says it is the same as it was years ago. So giving the tithe has never changed. Before the law was given, it was 10%. When the law was given, it was 10%. Instituted by the apostles in the New Testament church, it was 10%. And so it's always been that which is 10%. Now, where does the tithe go? Well, thank God, when we pay our tithes, it keeps the light on. Thank God it can go to that which is the work of God and keeps the electricity going. It keeps the buses running. It keeps the gospel tracts out. When we talk about a building remodel program of this nature, this is giving above the tithe. So what I do is I evaluate my part and what do I want to do to present a brand new auditorium. And by the way, everybody ought to have a part. We ought to get our children involved. We ought to get our teenagers involved. It's exciting to step out and trust a holy God and to give our tithes and to give offerings above the tithe just to see how God will work. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us how to give it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, let him give, not grudgingly. Somebody said, well, I'll take the money of any old grouch. Well, it may be true, but God tells us as believers we're not supposed to give grudgingly. You know what grudgingly is, don't you? And so you tell your child to do something, your child says, well, if I have to, that's grudgingly. Well, go clean up your room. Well, now, that's grudgingly. Well, take out the trash. Well, you know, it's only overflowing onto the floor. It's not all that bad yet. You know, grudgingly. The Bible says, and let him give, not, it says grudgingly, it says, or of necessity. Now, you know this, and I know this. Do you not know it? Do you not know that when you give, here's what God says, Malachi chapter 3, you ought to look it up and look at the verses. God says, here's what I'm going to do. When you give your tithes and your offerings, the tithe is kindergarten given, That's what God tells us to do. That's 10% of our gross income. That when we give above the tithe, that's an offering that God has laid on our heart. Now, God says this. He says, when you give your tithes and offerings, he says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. All right? And so come help me if you will. All right? So here's what happens. God sends judgment upon the land. When God sends judgment upon the land, just like the Israelites, when God sent judgment upon the land, God looks at the Israelite people and he says, I will protect my own. Now, God says for those that do right in the financial world, he says, not only will I protect my own, he said, I'll protect their financial integrity when all of a sudden there's an economical collapse or when the economy starts to go bankrupt. Hey, can I tell you that God is bigger than America? I remember when we were buying our house in Forney, we had a friend of ours that lived in Nigeria. And he works at a bank, and he owns a lot of property and whatnot, and just wanted to be a blessing. And so he sent us $12,000 to put down on our house there out in Forney, all the way from Nigeria. Now wait a minute. You know, here's what God did. God used a man all the way across the ocean in Nigeria to send us a check just to be a blessing to us because we have loved his family and invested in his nation for many years. And so he sent a love gift or a help, if you will. All right, God can take care of you. He said, but you don't, if you do right by God, God will do right by you. So all of a sudden now, there comes a famine in the land. Oh, let me just give you, Michael, come up here if you will. And come up here if you will. Yeah, and watch this. So there's a famine in the land. Famine in the land. All right, I want to show you something. Famine in the land. Here's an unsaved person. Famine in the land. Here's a child of God doing right. Here's a child of God doing wrong. Cheating God, robbing God. All right, doing wrong. All of a sudden, famine comes in the land. Here's what happens. That famine comes in the land, and when it sweeps over him, he still stands. You know why? Because God is his buckler and his shield. God is his foundation. But all of a sudden, you ready? When it comes over him, he drops. Drops. When it comes over him, he drops. That's why I got young guys up here. They can drop and then get back up. All right? Now what takes place, doesn't matter if they're saved, doesn't matter if they're unsaved, it matters about their step of obedience. Come on. Person says, well, I tell you what, I'm saved, but sucking on cigarettes. They're still going to get cancer. They're still going to have health that is not healthy. Doesn't matter if they're saved or not. Person says, I'm saved, but I'm going to pump my veins full of drugs. You're still going to pay the price. Don't say that. Boy, I tell you what, that's like person said, well, I'm saved. I'm saved, and so I'm going to stand in front of a Mack truck, and it's going to run me over, and I'm not going to get hurt. You're crazy. You're going to be flatter than a pancake, and you will not get served at the Waffle House. I'm saying, okay, fellas, rise if you would. Now watch this, okay? And so what takes place, all of a sudden, here's this young man. Oh, he may not have much, but he says, what I have belongs to God. What I have belongs to God. It's all God's. God, if you want it all, you can have it all. It doesn't matter to me. It's all God's. And so all of a sudden, famine comes along. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what type of program is pushed. I'm telling you that God can sustain that which is his own. God is good. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the God that answers prayer. He's the God that comes through. And I'm telling you, he is your God. Now watch this, if you will. And so it doesn't matter what comes down the pike. Now you have to be right in your standing with God. You have to be right. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. A lost person, man, they're going to get smacked upside the head for sure. But all of a sudden, famine comes in the land. Here's a saved person not right with God. Here's a lost person not right with God. But here's a person that is right with God. Come on. Look, I've seen preachers get up. They have no more of the power of God upon them than that which is a powder puff. Nothing.
Well, they preach and nobody gets it. Nobody sees it. Well, they jump back and forth. They try and keep everybody's attention and everybody's snoring. Sleep. Now, may I say, you listen to me. It takes God and you to make it. Well, preacher, I'm scared about the economy. I'm scared about this Obamacare. I'm scared about my personal insurance. I'm scared about my personal well-being. One of our dear ladies came up to me and said, well, because of the new type of, one of our senior saints came up and said, because of the new type of insurance they're trying to do, they cut my medicine. Another one of our senior saints came up and said, because of the new insurance they're trying to force on me, I now cannot get what I need for my diet. I'm a diabetic and I can't get the medicine there anymore. Another senior saint came up to me and said, I'm on oxygen. And after January, I can no longer get oxygen. I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, may I say the only hope that we have is in Christ. But you stay faithful. Hey, just like God sent that which was the ravens, I'm telling you, God can come through. And when problems are rising in your life, God can help you and God can come through. And it is your opportunity to give God a chance in your life. Thank you. Get up and be seated, if you will. Let me step over you first. Statement number one, I said this. I said that there is a definite proportion, a definite proportion. Now, what is that? That is 10%. God says, now, I'm watching. By the way, the radical Muslims are giving to support their cause. How much more important is the cause of Christ? Are you listening to me? By the way, Muhammad is dead. Jesus lives forever. Now, you understand this morning. I'm saying this. There's a definite proportion. Statement number one. Statement number two. There's a designated place. A designated place. Here's what he says. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. He says storehouse. Now, by the way, that's the Old Testament temple. You have to understand during this time that this was a people that lived in an agricultural society. The storehouse was that which was at the temple, and they would bring of their crops, they would bring of their corn, they would bring of their wheat, and it was the first tenth that they would bring to the storehouse. All right, we understand that storehouse now in the New Testament is that which is the church. And just out of common decency, are you ready? If I think that Brother Smell did a good job. He taught our Sunday school lesson in Sunday school here in the adult Bible study in the Old Path Sunday school class and did a good job. One of the analogies that he gave was this. If you go into the restaurant and you eat the food and then you get up and you walk out and you don't pay for it, they're probably going to stop you. I doubt if you're going to get out of the restaurant. Now, you know, you listen to me. I give my tithes and my offerings. Our family does, each one of us. Matter of fact, one of my boys came to me the other day and just said this. He said, Daddy, he said, I've got it all worked out. He said, and God's been good to me. And he said, now I'm able to give in the tithe, although we're supporting the general fund, I'm able to get that up now to 15% of my earnings. Well, that's great. He's been edging up and edging up, and now he's at 15%. That's wonderful. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying that God looks upon that. Here's what he says. He says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, honor the Lord, says, with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. It's the only verse in the entire Bible where God talks about substance and you honoring him with the first fruits from that substance that he says he'll fill your barns. Now, we've been doing that for years. Come on. I mean, for years, we've been, God gives me a suit, and it's a $300 suit. Then I'll pay God, if you will, please, a tithe of $30 off of that suit. Hello? Now, you know God likes that? So here's what God does. God says, hey, he honored me with that substance, the first fruit off of that substance. So here's what I'm going to do. There's not many people that do that, so I'm going to keep giving to him. So he'll give me another suit and another suit and another suit and another suit. And he'll give me another pair of shoes and he'll give me another vehicle. And he'll give me, that's the way God is. Because he says, you're honoring me with the first fruits of your substance. See, God, it gets God's attention so much that God says, here's what I'll do. I'll fill your barns. And by the way, then you can go around and say, God did it. It's one thing to say, I earned it. I got it. It's mine. It's another thing to say, I didn't earn it. I didn't get it. But God gave it, and he's a good God. But it all starts with the kindergarten giving of the tithe. Because when we give the tithe, God says, you ought to read it. Malachi chapter 3. You ought to read the whole chapter and see how God says, I'll rebuke the devourer. He says, for your sake. Now, I'm not cocky. I'm not arrogant. But I'm just saying that in my life financially, God promised me that because I'm keeping him right in my tithes and offerings, that financially, the devourer is not going to be able to touch me because he said, I will rebuke him. Hello? Then you go down. He says, I'll do this. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much that you'll not be able to receive it. That's God. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity message, but I want to tell you something. I want you to understand something. I think some people, because of their disobedience, are living in their poverty. Because of their disobedience to God, they're choosing to live no higher than what they're living in. They'll always live in the lowest type of housing. They'll always drive the dumpiest type of cars. They'll always not be able. You know why? Because they have chosen not to put God first. And God says, when you put me first, he says, I'll rebuke that which is the devourer. He said, your fruit shall not come forth before its time. He said, I will take care of you. That's why God is not interested in your money for his sake. God is interested in your money for your sake. Because he loves you. So I'm saying that there is that which is the proportionate giving. There's that which is a designated place in order to bring it. Where is that designated place? That designated place is still the place it's always been. It is the storehouse. Back then they brought, and by the way, when I lived in Tennessee, you remember Walter Hudgens. Brother Lofton, you remember Walter? Walter lived off the land. And Walter didn't know much about finances. Now he's in heaven today. You remember him, Brother Craig? Brother Walter Hudgens and Bertha his wife. And, he didn't know much about finances. Matter of fact, I hated to have a church vote about finances in my church back then because Brother Walter, he wanted to understand something, so he'd always raise his hand. Preacher, can you go over that again? And Bertha would take her cane and hit his toe. Or she'd nudge him. So finally I got Brother Stafford. I said, Brother Stafford, one of my good deacons, I said, can you meet with Brother Walter and explain things to him before we go into a business meeting because he's just not getting it. And he's holding up the whole process because he's asking some unlearned questions. But if you can school him on this before we go into a business meeting, it will make it a whole lot easier. And he said, okay. And so he got with Brother Walter and he schooled him on all the stuff prior to, and then it was just a piece of cake after that. Thank God for deacons. But Brother Walter, he lived off the land. He didn't know much about money. You know what he did? He'd go out there and he'd plant corn, and then he'd bring in 10%, the first 10%. You know, he'd plant tomatoes, and he'd bring them in. He'd plant potatoes, he'd bring them in. He understood the concept of giving God first. And because he did that, he made it. He survived when others were not surviving. He survived the way he knew to survive. And I'm telling you that inside of your house, God has given you the ability to be able to survive. And if you'll just take that which God has given you, you'll be able to survive also. May I say this, please? May I say, we understand that there is a definite proportion. There's a designated place. Designated place. Boy, you don't want to miss a service tonight. I'm going to show you how this designated place has made changes in lives by the hundreds of thousands. I'm going to show you what has taken place over the years. I want you to see people that are sitting here today because somebody gave them a gospel tract. They came to church, and now because they're in church, they're living for God. They're going out soul winning. Some are driving buses. Some are teaching Sunday school classes simply because somebody paid a tithe, and it was that which paid for a gospel tract, and the gospel tract was handed to somebody in a park, left on a doorknob somewhere. We got a boy here in Bible college. He listened to a podcast in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, bowed his heart, received Christ as Savior. Now he's in Bible college right here. We have many, many people that listen to those podcasts all over. And may I say this, how does that happen? Because we give our tithes. Now may I say statement number one, there's a divine purpose. Sometimes I'll go to Abuja, Nigeria, West Africa to preach. I do a pastor's conference type of conference I do there. And monkey meat is a delicacy. I mean, it's got to be the right type of monkey. But the monkey meat is a delicacy over there. And so I have heard that they have done this in regions of Africa where they will build a little box. And inside that little bitty box, they'll put nuts and fruit. On the outside of one of the sides of the boxes, they drill a little bitty hole so that the monkey's hand can fit through the little bitty hole. And that monkey, he'll pick up that box. Of course, that box has now also got a chain on the other end that's wrapped around the trunk of a tree. A heavy chain. And what they'll do is they'll drill a little bitty hole in that box. And that monkey will put his hand inside of that box. And he'll feel around in there. He might have picked it up a couple times and shook it, tried to look inside. But he knows he might have smelled it. But he knows there's fruit. He knows there's nuts inside that box. And so he'll take his hand, he'll put it inside that little bitty hole, and he'll grab a hold of those nuts. He'll grab a hold of that fruit, and he'll hold on to it, and he'll try and pull his hand out. Well, it's one thing going in like this. It's another thing trying to come out like this. And so, but he will not let loose of those nuts. I mean, greedy. He will not let loose of that fruit. And so he'll hold on to that fruit and he'll try and pull that hand out and pull that hand out and pull that hand out. He won't let loose. And all the hunter will do is the hunter will come over and he'll take that strong rope or he'll take that that chain, whatever it might be, that's affixed to the trunk of the tree, and he'll just unhook it, and that monkey's up pulling, but he's not going nowhere. And he doesn't have the sense enough to let loose of it in order to get his freedom. And how many people get in debt that way? They walk past the car and they say, I've got to have it. If I don't get it today, the sale's going to go off. The sale never goes off. Well, I've got to get it today because it's a blue light special. Doesn't matter. Tomorrow it'll be an orange light. Next day it'll be a purple light. Well, they say it's 50% off. You wait, it'll go down. But today it's 95% off. That's because next day they're going to give it away for free. Wait your turn. But we get snared up in that. Well, I've got to get this certain credit card because if I get this certain credit card, I'll get so much money back. And then you get that and it eats your lunch. You look at your precious wife and say, look, I've got free money. Let's go eat. And all of a sudden the bill comes in because you ate a lot that month. You say, how in the world did we spend $5,000? Well, you remember we took all the neighbors out that one night. Well, I don't understand. You remember that gift that we gave the pastor? You remember that? And they get in debt. All right? Now, what happens is this, is they're putting their hand in there and they grab a hold of that thing. And you got to train your children this way too. Hello. Your kids will go to the store and say, Mama, Daddy, I want it, I want it, I want it. Give it to me. And then you give in to them. You know what you're doing? You just did a character training trait in their life. You have taught them that they can have anything they want just by whining and crying. Now, don't get mad at me, but you ought to smile at them real big and say, you're going to get it when you get home. You'll catch on to that after a while, by and by.
But I'm saying this. I'm saying that it is true that there is a divine purpose. God has a divine purpose. That divine purpose is that everything I have belongs to Him. Everything I have. God, if you want it, you can have it. God, it's yours for the taking. Matter of fact, it's yours for the giving. I give it. I return it to you. Boy comes to my office and he says, preacher, he says, I like her. I really do like her. I wish I could have her. He goes to the parents and he says, you know, I like your daughter. Would it be okay if I begin a friendship with your daughter? And mom and dad says, go jump in the lake. Make sure it's deep. Hello? Boy comes back and he says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I asked and they said no. I said, well, you obey them. Amen. All right, wait a minute. Watch this. And you pray. Because if it's God, stay with me. Because if God's will today, it'll be God's will tomorrow. And if it's God's will tomorrow, it could be God's will 5 years from now. But if it's not going to be God's will 5 years from now, it's not God's will today. So don't rush it. Hello. The same thing is true about our finances. I heard about a man. He said, I gave my tithes. God, where are you? God, where are you? I gave my tithe. You're supposed to give back. Now, where are you? Well, first off, when God says you give your tithe, he doesn't say necessarily he'll give back. You give your tithe to be honest with him, and he gives you protection. When you start entering into the offering, that's when God blesses and gives back. But you can't enter into offering until first you give the tithe. See, God has an order. God's order is first the tithe. Then above the tithe, okay, 10% is the tithe. That means you give 11%. That means only 1% is the offering. Well, you know, preacher, I gave my 10% and I gave 5%. That's 5% that's offering. Some of you good folks ought to get out and support missions. But you don't give your tithe to the mission. Some of us good people ought to gather together and like a mighty army decide that we're going to support the remodel program, but we don't give the tithe to support it. The tithe goes to the Lord. And the tithe for the local church supports the gospel of Jesus Christ and the works of the ministry. But then the offering goes above that to be able to do those extra things. Let me ask you something. How is your trust fund? You say, preacher, you're just talking about stuff like that in order to get money. No, I'll be honest with you. God doesn't need your money. But you need God's help to be financially blessed in your life. And by the way, the same thing I'm preaching is the same thing I practice. I've heard about scoundrels that get up. And they get up and they preach it, but they don't do it. Can I tell you, if I'm going to preach it, I'm going to practice it. If I preach soul winning, it's because I'm going. I preach separations because I practice it. Hey, I preach tithe and offering because I do it. And God is the one, blessed be God, that's the one that gets all the glory for what he does in our lives. May it be so also in yours. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.